Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
You are listening to the GAA Hour, brought to you by Sports Joe and Shore. 72-hour non-stop protection, tested to the limits. Shore, it won't let you down.
Hello everyone, you're all very welcome to the show, brought to you by Sports Joe and Shore. 72-hour protection. We've a provincial hurling bonanza coming up, and I've Lee Costello alongside me as usual. And joining us today, I'm happy to say, is Wexford hurler Conor McDonald. Conor, how's things?
Yeah, not too bad. Thanks for having me.
No bother at all, Conor. I was getting a little bit worried last night when I seen Navena won the Wexford League yesterday, and I thought, you know, these boys would be celebrating. I know if we won a league back home, we'd be celebrating hard. But you're looking fresh.
Yeah, no, not too bad. Nice to get back in with the lads. Bit of a surreal kind of, you know, probably played maybe 3 or 4 league games in my whole career with Corey. So nice to get back in with the lads, and obviously the first game back with the club is a final, so it's grand. It's nice.
Yeah, just the day that was in it yesterday, you're probably hoping you're going to be up in Croke Park, and that's the aim at the start of the year. So
yeah, that's what I was saying to Liam Spratt. I'd done an interview with Liam afterwards, and I was captain of the team, so I would have rather kind of probably having a different cup in my hands yesterday. But look, sure, that's just the way the year went. Bit of a mad one on all fronts, but yeah, nice to just get back in with the lads as well.
Definitely, yeah, and a mad finish to the game up in Croke Park yesterday. Anyway, like, I know when you're a player, that's your aim at the start of the year, you want to be there. There's obviously a bit of a bittersweet sort of a, well, it's bitter. I don't know why yeah. It would be sweet, but like, is it tough to watch that, or can you kind of enjoy it when you're looking back at the highlights? And
yeah, like, at times it's tough. Different years it can be tough. This year I would definitely just, you know, you have to be brutally honest with yourself as well and say, you know, it would have been years gone by, say Kilkenny 2019, been in an All Ireland final and we beat them, say in a Leinster final, and you know, we would have probably should have actually got over the line against Tipperary. Then you'd be kind of kicking yourself. Them finals are hard to watch, but to be honest, this year we've no real excuses. We've nothing there to say that we should be there. We got over the line against Kilkenny in a massive game, but you know, they deserve to be there. They're there on merit, and you know, it was a frantic ending to the game. All right,
it sure was. Lee, I know you're not, you're a self-confessed Gaelic football man, and we put up with you for that all the way through the year, but even as a Gaelic football fan, watching that last minute down by the corner, TJ Reid going around, he was out on his feet, the Galway boys out on their feet, just madness to watch.
Yeah, no, just as a sports fan, anyone can enjoy that. Like, I mean, games that go right to the wire, you know, in moments like that, you just expect, right, this, it is probably going to fizzle out. You know what could happen, and that's what keeps us interested, the sort of the hope that it could happen. And then from a neutral point of view, to actually see it, you know, manifest itself like that, and you can't even believe what you're watching from that point. It genuinely was like a proper fairy tale final from Kilkenny point of view.
Yeah, well, Henry Shefflin, I suppose we have to start with the heartbreak for Galway, because it was pure, it was a freak, lads. And I was down at the Gaelic Grounds at the Munster final, and we were in the press box afterwards. Maybe it was probably 2 hours after the Munster final had finished, and we're watching the Leinster final, and it's, you know, it's tight the whole way up, and you're thinking, Galway are after, you know, they're after getting over the hurdle, they're after doing the job, they're 2 points up. Brian Kilcannon slots that one over, and you think, right, this is it. They win the next puck out. It's a sucker punch, said Henry Shefflin. It's going to hurt for a couple of days. The lads are going to feel sorry for themselves, because that doesn't happen very often. And that's so true, like, because, you know, you're 2 points. People say it's the most dangerous lead in hurling, but you probably never expect that, Conor.
No, and I think they were saying, even on Sunday game in the commentary, they were saying, they actually said, like, it's the most dangerous lead to have, simply because bodies are tired. It's probably the only sport in the world that something like that would actually genuinely happen, whereby, you know, bodies are so tired. Look at Grove McInerney in the corner there, literally just wanted to get the ball out of there, kind of missed the ball completely. TJ Reid, who's normally so slick with his hands, could barely even get the ball up. And then there's a flick across there from John Donnelly. Like, it's just hectic. And when a game's come down to the wire like that, it's, like I said, it's the only sport in the world that something absolutely crazy could happen like that. You get last minute winners in soccer games and the whole lot, but it's a bit of a slower build up, and it's not as frantic generally as corner or something like that. You know, something could happen. But no, they absolutely sucker punch. We've been on the receiving end of them a few times. I think everyone has, you know, in their careers, but it's unbelievable to win it, and it's absolutely heartbreaking to lose them.
It is. I'd say you're just, when something like that happens, you're empty, because you don't really believe it. Because Galway, they're happy after Brian Kilcannon gets that score. They're two up. And the funny thing is, if he doesn't get that score, Kilkenny and Killian Buckley's probably just going to tap that over the bar.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's going to be a draw. So it's just, it all came at once, and such a hammer blow for Galway. And I was talking to a lad after, and he told me he was close to tears. That's how bad it was for Galway fans.
Yeah.
Like, you know, because it's since 2018 is the last time they've won it now. And
yeah,
they haven't won, you know, since the All-Ireland they won. That was the last thing they've won. So they needed this.
No, they did. And I know we're going to talk about Clare later and how they're going to try to bounce back. But it's going to be really difficult to bounce back from a moment like that. Because how do you take, like, how do you watch that happen and then try to turn the mantra around that season to being, no, this is still our year. Do you know, like, because it doesn't feel like it's your year when things like that happen to you and when it's robbed so last minute. And it'd just be interesting for Conor to say, I know you were talking about, you've been on the receiving end of low blows like that. Does anyone stand out in particular as a really sickener that happened late on?
Well, there's probably so many, but I suppose just on how you kind of bounce back from that is the first thing that you're trying to do. Everyone would, you know, the quicker you get into the dressing room together and regroup. But, like, you know, Clare last year probably in the championship, we probably felt the game was there for us, and you just felt that it was just pulled from us, like a rug pulled from underneath you. But look at these things happen. That's the sport that we're in, and it's heartbreaking. I think, as you're saying there about Clare and stuff, the quicker they'll get in. Henry Shefflin touched on it yesterday. It'll hurt. They have to use the hurt. Use the hurt that they have. They'll wake up this morning, probably still won't even believe that what the hell happened. They'll be looking back, and Killian Buckley, of all players, you know, back, you know, obviously had his stint in the forwards at a younger age and stuff like that. But even just how frantic it was, like Park Mannion, who's like so sleek with the ball. Anytime when we played him, he's, you know, gifted with his hands, really good ball striker and stuff like that, to not even have a hurdle in the last, you know, second of a game, to kick it, like you kick a hurling ball 10 times in a row and he wouldn't kick at a sweet, like, do you know what I mean? Just straight into a fella's hand on the D in the middle of Croke Park. But look at, like you said there, and like I was saying earlier, it's any loss like that, whether it's your club, whether it's anything, you'll always remember them, but you have to use them as well. I think that's what they'll have to do. You know, they've no choice really, you know, and that's what we would always do, Wexford or Gorey with the club. It doesn't matter. Get into the dressing room, regroup as quick as you can, and that would probably be their focus now. Come Tuesday night, they'll be back training again, I'd say.
it's the hope that kills for Galway people, I'd say, because, you know, they're 8 points down at one stage in the game and they're probably thinking, right, like, we're in trouble here. This could be game over. But then they make the rally. Jason Flynn comes on as a sub, gets a good goal. Evan Nyland slots a few points. Brian Kincannon gets that one and they're back in business. And then after the game, the team have done so well to get back into the game. And after the game, you're kind of like, do you know what? You can't really be giving out about the team too much because they had that game, they had that sewn up and they did everything they could. I suppose the one little criticism is, like, I've seen some people saying that, you know, and Joe Cooney, he'll be disappointed with himself as well down in that corner. And I know, look, the heat was unbelievable yesterday. I'm sure you know that from hurling it yesterday yourself, Connor. But the lads, they were like zombies down at the bottom, down at the corner there. I suppose 74 minutes into the game, I think Joseph Cooney had two bites to win the ball, dropped it. Donnelly gets it across. I seen a Kilkenny man saying, commenting on Twitter, that a Kilkenny player would have, you know, done the little flick up without the hurl instead of just drawing a boot at it like Pádraig Mannion did. Probably hard to be critical of him, but I don't know. Is it something that you think he should have done better in that situation?
Look at it's only the player that's in the position that can probably tell you what was going through his head or whatever it is. But look at, as I said earlier, Pádraig Mannion's as good a ball striker, as good a ball handler in the country. He generally plays as a free man. You know, he'd no hurl in his hand. He's last minute. I know if I went back yesterday, with a couple of points left, or a couple of minutes left, and a point or two in it, and Roy O'Connor was dropping a ball in. And when I was back on our own goal line, I was actually thinking to myself, like, what do I actually do here? Do you know what I mean? If you're in a position that you're uncomfortable, you know, you've after playing 70 minutes, these lads are they're thinking about this all week. All, you know, it's draining, probably what, mid-20s heat yesterday, you know, frantic, heavy hits, you know, everything going on. And sure, look at it, it's just spur of the moment stuff. Obviously, in his head, he was thinking, get that out, just get it away. All they need is a goal. And just get it out of there. And it, like I said, there was such a frantic kind of passage of play there in that corner that when it did spill over across, you know, generally when that happens, you know, John Donnelly flicked the ball across, so then it's just like, get it out of there, there's been enough gone on, you know, that kind of way. So look at it, blame, I think, is not something that we probably should be passing off to Pádraig Mannion. Like I said, he's a top class inter-county player, lots of experience. So it just shows that, like, you know, when you're in the white heat of battle in the last 9 seconds, literally anything can happen. Like, and you know, obviously in his head, where it was just get away from the goal. And you know, as I said earlier, it couldn't have felt sweeter to Kilkenny man. So.
Well, it was. You'd feel awful for Pádraig Mannion. Just such a, he had a brilliant game, and I know Owen Cody scored a few points, but Mannion was so good on the ball, made a brilliant block from Pádraig Walsh just seconds earlier. And you know, as Connor says, he's the calmest man on the ball, the calmest man on the pitch, brilliant in possession. And it was just so unfortunate for him that when John Donnelly hit the cross, he was contesting the ball with Owen Cody, and his hurl just slips behind him. Because if he has that, his hurl in his hand, you know, it's game over, like Shinné. So devastating for him, and really feel for him. But it came to Killian Buckley. He'd never scored a championship goal in his life. And I know you've seen his interview with Damien O'Mara on RT. Yeah. It was absolutely brilliant.
It was.
You could see just how delighted he was. He said, what, a shot. Can I call it a shot? He was very kind of modest about the whole thing, but it managed to get in. And now, look, talk about special moments. To do that for your team and to win the Leinster final after it, it's a dream come true. The 75th minute of a Leinster final is more behind me than ahead of me, he said. I'm 12 years hurling with Kilkenny to celebrate with the family, and the he'll never forget the pylon with the Kilkenny lads after the game. So just a special moment for him, Lee.
Yeah, no, a magical moment, really. Like, I know we're talking about what Mannion could have done or should have done. It still wasn't on a plate. You know, Buckley still had so much to do, and I think he admitted himself that he was actually looking for the pass, looking for another pass, and then it opened up and he said, well, it's me or nothing here. And, you know, and he took his chance, and 12 years of serving, no championship goal, that'll be worth 12 alone at least.
100%. He made a huge impact in the game. Came on and you know, Killian has, he's been like, what a brilliant player he was, maybe in the first 5, 6, 7 or 8 years with Kilkenny. Maybe been more of a bit part player recently, Connor. Not sure if you've ever marked him, but you've played Kilkenny so many times, you know, all about him and how good he is.
Yeah, like he's a typical Kilkenny back. He's good in the air, he's athletic, he's, you know, he's always there, thereabouts with the hurl. I remember one time, 2017, went in the last couple of minutes of it. We beat Kilkenny down in Wexford Park to get to our first probably Leinster final in a long time. And I remember the last couple of minutes, Jack Iney handed me out a ball and I thought, this is on a plate, like, you know. And out of nowhere, this fella just comes out, literally out of nowhere, to, you know, dive and block. And I remember actually thinking to myself, like, I need to look back on where he came from, or did I just completely not see him there, or what happened? But that's the kind of player he is. He's, like I said, he's a typical Kilkenny back, you know, heart on the sleeve stuff. Came out with some unbelievable ball yesterday. And I think his interview was good. I think for GA players as well, you know, people are afraid to express themselves a little bit in interviews and just say actually how they feel and not give the generic, you know, answers to the questions that are asked. There's only so many things that a reporter or an interviewer can ask you. So yeah. It was nice to hear him, you know, show the emotion and show what it meant to him, because, you know, it's a long time to be playing for Kilkenny and you know, serving your time as a player. And like you said there, he's given an awful lot of time. He was a star front runner for a long time, and, you know, injuries and stuff has kind of hampered his career a little bit in the last number of years, but brilliant servant. And, you know, it just seems to always happen for these kind of players, you know, when they're getting to the latter end of their careers.
Yeah, like when he came on after 58 minutes, and I know he played himself into the game lovely. He made an unbelievable catch at one stage, came out with one or two other balls, but I'd say it was the last thing in his mind when he's coming onto that field that I'm going to go on and get the winning goal here. But I suppose that's the way it can go. It was the complete opposite end of the whole spectrum for Conor Whelan, really. He had to do an interview having won the Man of the Match award, and my God, what a performance from Conor Whelan yesterday. 1-6, every one of the scores. He was out in kind of a more half forward line role. He's usually in the full forward line, but was drifting around, and the scores from all angles. The last point he got down by the left side in the Hogan stand, just unbelievable stuff and a brilliant performance. But geez, it was tough for him to do that. Both, I didn't think he'd be able to speak. It was so raw.
No, he did, and he gave a very good interview as well. Again, another person who was quite honest and didn't just give away the throwaway lines. He was fantastic on the day, and I know Jackie was maybe giving him a hard time at halftime, saying that he was only a one-trick pony. It was kind of harsh, I thought. He said he's a one-trick pony, but he's aggressive, he's fast, and he can get you a goal. And I was just like, well, you named three tricks there, so I don't really know. And he didn't say what the one trick was as well. You know, I don't know. He was sort of alluding to the fact that in big games he can disappear. So he maybe didn't summarise it very well, but on that day he definitely stood up, like, and it was absolutely no fault of his own that Galway didn't get over the line, because he was the man of the moment. He's still got man of the match, and I'm sure it won't even be much of a consolation for him. He'd much rather have the title.
Definitely. I can see where Jackie's coming from in that Conor Whelan hasn't had his best year. But for the last 5 years, like last 6 years, 7 years, that man has been unbelievable for Galway. What Jackie said was, too many times he's gone missing for me when they needed him most. But today he's definitely standing up. I just still would have question marks over him. What he said was he wouldn't have him in the top bracket alongside Tony Kelly, Aaron Gillan, and TJ Reid. I'm not sure about you, Conor. I would have Conor Whelan. I know he's been maybe a small bit off form this year, but I definitely wouldn't call him one trick pony.
I certainly wouldn't call him that. If he was, I wouldn't mind a one trick pony. Like, I mean, my team, I know that for sure. I rate Conor highly. I think he's a top class forward. He's a dog. Like, you know, any ball that goes in, he's fighting tooth and nail for every single ball. Like I said, he's just an absolute dog. I don't know. Jackie obviously has his own opinions, but like from a forward's perspective, he'd be a dream to play beside. You'd love to play beside him. You know that he's going to get put in a stint every day. And you know the way Galway play at times, there's long high loop and balls coming in there at times. and they're on breaks and stuff, he's generally the man that's under it. You know, Johnny Glynn used to play that role for him, for Galway a lot. That long high ball and then bang, runners off the whole time, and Whelan would have been that runner. Where now he's the man standing underneath, and nowadays, you know, how many balls in a game do you actually, you know, win clean or win in the first phase? Like, you know, if you collect 2 out of 10, you know, you'll actually be remembered for it. You know, that's the way intercounty hurling is gone, and how hard it is to get possession. But he secures it. He gets so low to the ground, and listen, as he's clinical. Like, you know, we often use the term, like, we often say, you know, in training or whatever, if a fella's out on the sideline, you know, and he's there, you know, let him shoot. Like, as in, you know, you do your job, stand him up, don't get sold. And you know, if he puts it over from there, fair play. Like, he was more or less in the Hogan stand there a couple of times yesterday, and he's, you know, just sliding ball over the bar there. He's clinical. I do rate him highly. Like I said, Jack has his own opinion, but sure, everyone is entitled to their opinion. You know, for a fella who's apparently not having a good year to score 1-6 in the Leinster final, not bad going. Do you know what
definitely,
I mean?
Definitely, definitely. Like, Jackie, in fairness, he said himself, he gave him the man of the match award. I think he had to, after the Conor Whelan had. But lads, he's the furthest thing from One Trick Pony, I would say, because as you said, Conor, he's low to the ground. He's, you know, he's so, I'd say if you're chasing after him, you don't know what he's going to do next, because he can turn, he can go to either side. He's a good man to win the ball. He's a great tackler. I think he's about a 10 trick pony, if that's a thing. But look, he was devastated after the match, and that's very disappointing for him. They'll bounce back. They're playing the winners of Tipperary and Offaly. Hopefully Tipperary will beat Offaly, but listen, Tipperary have had a very bad record against Galway in recent times. So if that game comes through, it's going to be another tight one there. We talked about Killian Buckley. Another man who had an unbelievable impact off the bench was Walter Walsh. And I know you've had so many games with Kilkenny, but this man is just, a lot of people kind of seem to write him off, but you can't write him off.
No, and you do write him off. He does stuff that he, you know, all the time, like what he done yesterday. Sure, look at Wally. He looks in great shape. He's probably the best shape I've seen him in a good few years. Like I say, he's an absolute handful. He, you know, he's good under a dropping ball. You know, I think was it during the commentary they were saying there, I thought he lost his yard of pace. Like, the man at that stature and size, he gets moving, like you can't stop him. It's the biggest thing for him is to try to get keep the ball out of his hand, because once he gets it, you know, he can strike over his shoulder there, you know, you can't get around him to block him. But you know, like, what a goal. Catch that, just turn and go. He kind of, what I notice about Wally, he always when he's catching the turn for goal, he's always catching on the turn. If you notice that, he's catching with his right shoulder already to goal. Like, so he's catching literally ready to put the ball on the hurl and go. Just something I noticed as a forward, I suppose. It's a little knack he always has, and that's how he probably gets in. You know, he's shielding the defender, but he's always facing in towards the goal, and he's gone there. Like, you know,
that's something you do yourself, I'd say, Conor. When you win the ball, you kind of seem to be ready to thinking about, you know, not just win it, but I'm going to stick this over.
Yeah, well, sure, look, it's just trying to get a yard more so than anything. So if you're under a dropping ball or there's a poke out coming there, it's how you're going to face the goal as quick as you can, pull the trigger or lay it off or just go yourself, you know, that kind of way. So again, that's something I probably just noticed as a forward, is just how lads are getting space. You know, we talked about Conor Whelan. Sometimes he'll, you know, or Aaron Gillan even, push the man and go get a yard that way, whatever it may be. But you know, it's just all about getting the yard, and you know, any way you can find it, that's just what to do.
Would that be something you'd kind of practice in training, kind of catching on the move? Would it be taught to you, or would it be something kind of come to yourself? Because you see so much of it in inside forwards nowadays. Even Mark Rogers, for his goal, Tony Kelly's one hits the post, Rogers has it and he's turned before he even has the ball. And Gillan is the same way. When he wins that one for his goal, the lads are just, you know, they're so skillful nowadays.
I think Rogers, well, it was pure instinct. Like, you know, he'd ball come off the post, he'd just always be ready. He probably knew as he was picking it up, I'm going to turn and, you know, pull the trigger here, like, you know, that kind of way. But you do work on some bits and pieces. You try to develop your game a little bit more. Like, some players can, you know, Wally can obviously do what I just spoke about there. Other players might be able to do that, so they're working on that. And then, you know, Wally, you could be looking at Wally like I would be there and saying, okay, I might try to implement that in your game that little bit more. So forwards are smart now. They're all trying to get the edge, and, you know, backs are also smart. There's so much technology going around. There's so many video analysis, you know, every single day when training. You know, someone could say, oh, Connor likes this, or Wally likes this, or Connor Whelan does this every time, and the next thing he does three other things, like, do you know what I mean? Yeah. That, you know, he's implemented into his game. So it's just trying to get the art of space really is the key.
Yeah.
Does any gym work come into that, like the strength and conditioning? Because it's sort of like your plyometric explosiveness. Yeah. So when you're, I'm thinking of Gaelic football, obviously Conor Callaghan's brilliant at that. You see him, he gets the ball and he's already turning midair, lands, and then he explodes off that front leg. You know, is it go that far into the strength and conditioning thinking about it?
Yeah, it would be like, and we like your forwards coaches, backs coaches and stuff like that, where you'd be kind of touching base with them during the week, or they might pull you and say, here, look at this clip from, it could be anybody or whatever, it could be yourself, and just say, right, here's how someone's running out to the say the 45 on the right hand side, how do you turn your body to face the defender to take him on, that kind of way, rather than trying to whip a ball over your shoulder or, you know. But again, it's the phases of play to get the ball into your hand. Grand, you do your drills and stuff like that to get your first touch or catch the ball or whatever. But like you said there, it's the plyometrics, it's the gym work, it's the fast feet movement there that you'd be doing in training without the hurling ball to get you into those positions. And then obviously it's the skill work then that takes over then.
So what is, you mentioned like obviously the back is on you as well, and he's going to be pushing you and he's going to be on top of you and trying everything he can maybe to win the ball himself or to break it himself. You're a great man, Connor, under the dropping ball, whether it just seems, I don't know, it looks to me as if your mindset is, I'm going to get this ball into my hands as quick as I possibly can, and you're just, that's your first focus. Like, is that what you kind of focus on, say, when a high ball is coming in on top of you, and or do you have to focus on the back kind of as well, pushing him out of the way a small bit? Or?
Yeah, well, it's a mix of everything, really. Some backs are kind of stand off you, some backs are really tight with you, you know, you just have to play it as it lies, really, is kind of the phrase that. But it's so difficult now, you know. You could have one back who's just absolutely mauling you. I remember Barry Coughlin from Waterford. Absolute, like, just maul you, just wants Conor Cleary's another one. And then you have the likes of Hugh Lawler who'll contest the ball with you, like, excellent in the air. Do you know what I mean? Like, we'll contest the ball with you, and the last thing you want is him clawing the ball over you, like, do you know that kind of way?
And he's good at it.
Yeah, he's good at it. So, you know, everyone's different, so you're conscious of the back, but as you said there, it's my prime focus will be, you know, get the ball into your hand as soon as you can, because you can dictate the play in that kind of way, rather than have to go try fight for it on the ground or whatever it may be, especially if it's dropping. It's just first phase possession is obviously key, but it's so hard to get.
Yeah. As an inside forward, would you be like looking at Aaron Gillan? Limerick just have an unbelievable way of getting space in front of him. Maybe at times people were saying Conlon wasn't far enough back, but Conlon had his own man yesterday as well. And we'll get on to this a bit in the Clare game later, but the Limerick system is set up perfectly for a full forward like Gillan.
Yeah, absolute dream. Absolute dream. There's probably not a whole lot more you can say. Saying that too, they mix it lovely. They know their system. They're just really just know their system, and whatever way they play it, the players that they bring in, Dave Reedy came in yesterday. He normally comes in as a sub. You'd nearly back him every single day to get two or three from play when he comes in. So he just fits in there, centre forward, grand, no problem. But to get two or three points again yesterday, like, they just know their system. They know, okay, Conlon normally would sit back. He'd sit back against us a lot. You know, I remember himself and Chimmer inside one time, and like, he'd just be on the D. And it's trying to force him out then so he can play a ball in. Is the key there, and Limerick are quite good at that. So I'm fairly sure that Conlon would have, you know, loved to sit in the pocket there if he could, but he knew the damage that the boys do outside. You know, you've Tom Morrissey, Grod Hegarty, these lads, they pick you off from anywhere if you're not with them. So that was obviously their focus, and it was in their mindset to say, we have to just go for these man for man, and it may leave space inside, but that is an absolute dream.
In fairness to Gillan, he can win it anyway, and we've seen it in the Cork game, catching ball over Sean O'Donoghue. Like, it doesn't really matter to him, he'll contest it. Just one more thing on the Leinster final. Like, ye have such a brilliant record against Kilkenny in recent times, and then there's Galway, your record wouldn't be as good against them, and Galway's record is brilliant against Kilkenny. It's kind of a bit jumbled up in all the way that way. It's hard to make. Like, is it much of a difference when you're playing Kilkenny in a game to playing Galway in a game? Just, I don't know, the way they play the game, or what would be the biggest difference between them two teams?
Yeah, well, I think for us, we just there's something about Kilkenny that we just absolutely loved playing them for years. Probably Wexford teams, you know, probably would have feared them, or, you know, been really wary of Kilkenny teams. I think we just go to really have a cut off them every single time, and we know that that's what they're going to bring. Our biggest problem is probably, you know, finding that consistency in doing that with every team that we play in Leinster. That's what we struggled with this year. I think the evidence is there how we can, you know, be, you know, poor for 3-4 games. We never really got going in the championship, to turning on, you know, an unbelievable performance against Kilkenny when you know, our backs were really against the wall.
Sure.
Really against the wall. So that's really it. You know, all these teams are gone so good. You know, if you were to say back when we were with Davy 2017-18, Kilkenny would have still been that kind of traditional style, whereas they're working the ball out now. They've runners coming from deep and stuff like that. Galway would have always been like that. They would have worked to Joe Canning when he was in there, work it to him and play it to the corners and stuff like that, cross field ball. So in regards to style of play, they're probably similar, but there's just something about the back black and amber jersey that we
geez, it got you fired up the last day.
Well, we had to.
Yeah, you had to. The Leinster final was in Croke Park. Some people were giving out about that. It was 24,000 wasn't the worst crowd, but you were saying earlier today that when Wexford won, there was 50,000, and I remember the atmosphere that day. It was something special.
It was Joe Canning. He was saying it, like, and I was just saying it as a nearly a mute point, I suppose, really, because he was talking about how sick he was from the Galway defeat. But it was just something he'd noticed anyway. He thought the atmosphere didn't match, or was, you know, deserving of a Leinster final, and I suppose this was because it was played just after the Clare Limerick game, which was obviously the atmosphere was palpable. And then I did, and we obviously knew you were coming in, so I was just checking. Now, this is Wikipedia, so you never know how correct it is, but apparently the Leinster final 2019, it was like 54,000 people.
I think there was.
Like, in comparison, you know, but that totally justifies Croke Park, obviously. But have you ever played in a flat Croke Park before, like, where it's maybe a bit colder and not?
Yeah, like, this year we played a couple of league games in Croke Park and stuff, and it's just different. You can hear people. It's kind of we played Dublin this year. It was it's just a weird atmosphere. You know, you can hear a ball being struck. You can hear players talking on the field. But, like, it's hard to like, where are we going to play the Leinster final? Like, in my opinion, there's always has to be in Croke Park. It's the biggest stadium in Ireland. Like, I don't think that should make a difference, but the atmosphere, it can be a little bit difficult to play in when, you know, a game is thrown up like that. Leinster final was in just straight after the Munster final in Gaelic grounds, like, how hectic would that have been? Like, do you know what I mean? It would have been absolutely crazy. To be honest, I think they should actually do the two games in one, because if
in Croke Park,
fill it to the brim. If they're going to have them on the same day, I think it's ridiculous that they have them on the same day anyway. But then again, fixtures, they could go on all day, but fixtures, we played league final at 3 o'clock yesterday. It was absolutely ridiculous. So, but yeah, look at that. It's Croke Park can be a little bit difficult to play in, you know, just that dead atmosphere, and, you know, winning tackles or getting a free, you know, these kind of turning points in games, like, it's a bit of a surreal kind of atmosphere.
Yeah, but I suppose for the finish yesterday, it wouldn't have mattered where it was. The excitement was just unbelievable. We're going to take a short little break here before we come back with our Sure quiz. So, as we did last week, in partnership with our friends at Sure, official statistic partners of the GA, we're now going to look at the most eye-catching stats from the championship weekend. Lar Harney was the lucky winner last week, so congrats to Lar. There's a prize coming your way, so well done to you. But we've another question. It revolves around TJ Reid and Kilkenny. They're back again, a fourth Leinster title in a row. But how many Leinster titles has the Ballyhale Maestro now won for Kilkenny? So now it's up to you, our audience. Give us the answer to this stat-related question on our social media to be in with a chance of winning some sure themed prizes. Winners will be announced on the show next week. The Leinster final was a one-point game. The Munster final was a one-point game. I think the main talking point for a finish is it's just disappointment for Clare. They should have won that game. I'd say that looking back on it, the likes of Tony Kelly, Ryan Taylor, Dave Fitzgerald, Aidan McCarthy, they're going to think back at these wides that they hit on a day when some of Limerick's leading lights like Seamus Flanagan and Dermot Burns were kept scoreless. So just a huge missed opportunity and a real sickener, I'd say, for Clare yesterday, Connor.
Yeah, and again, we kind of touched on it earlier about atmosphere and stuff like that. Sometimes when you have, you know, a home advantage in a final, it does add 2-3 points to your lead, like 100%. We know we play in Wexford Park. It could give you 5-6 points, like, you know, just in your head, like going down there. So sometimes when your shining lights are not performing, you know, it's nice to have the kind of crowd on your back there to help you out, and also just, you know, help you when you're trying to defend as well. But look, these things happen. It's high pressure situations. You know, we've been in a situation we had 15, 16, 21 wides in championship games, and, you know, there's no one going out there trying to hit wide, like, you know, that kind of way. They've been put under serious pressure, and, you know, the calibre of player that you're talking about, the Tony Kellys, the Aidan McCarthys of the world, you know, if they're out in the field on their own, they're putting the ball over in their sleep, like, but they're not. You know, there's a crowd there absolutely hounding them. There's some of the biggest men that have ever played the game, you know, some of the best backs that have ever played the game, defenders, whatever it may be, breathing down their neck, you know, in a Munster final, as I said earlier, white heat, like, you know, things happen, you know. It's just it's the clutch things. And touch on Seamus Flanagan, top class forward last year, shot the lights out.
8 points.
You know, it's up to someone else to stand up, and Galan done that, as he's done, you know, I suppose time and time again. And that's what they have, and that's why they're 5 in a row. That's why they're you know, the reigning All-Ireland champions.
100%. Galan was the main man starting. Some of the Limerick subs were brilliant yesterday. Lee, Adam English came on. He was only on the field for 1 minute as a blood sub, and he had a point scored. Came off then. There was like nearly a standing ovation at the Gaelic grounds from yesterday as he came off. He went back on and was lively enough again. Cathal O'Neill, I was fairly surprised that he wasn't actually starting the game, but scored 2 points as well. So, as Connor mentioned earlier, David Reedy started, he doesn't usually start, he had 3 points from play. So there's a lot of positives for Limerick there that, you know, even if maybe Seamus Flanagan has a quiet day.
Yeah.
You know, Burns could be quiet. Kegarty, maybe he was better than he had been, but he didn't shoot the lights out. Limerick still have boys to back them up.
Yeah, whatever people say about Limerick, maybe this year that they're slightly more vulnerable looking this year than they have been in recent years, and that's only slightly. One thing you can never say is that they're over reliant on one player, because it always seems like someone always is willing to step up. They're just a team full of leaders. You know, it was like 2 years ago, Cian Lynch was the main man, you know, player of the year last year, Gerard Hegarty, and it looks this year like Aaron Gillan's going to step up and really lead the charge this time around. And it just, and even if he's quiet the next day, you just expect someone else to do it. And that's the just testament to the culture of the team, you know, and that they're not looking to one individual so much, but like it is genuinely, I don't know, it's a cliche to say, but the ultimate team effort, isn't it?
We touched on it earlier with Gillan and how Limerick worked that lovely, that they got the space, they sucked Conlon out the field. And look, at the game yesterday, I was going midway through the game, I was saying to lads beside me, like, John Conlon has had one of the best games. I've never seen a man hit as much ball as he hit yesterday. And so good on the ball when he gets it as well. But that can happen. And Limerick just worked it lovely and got the space in for Gillan. And what a forward, Connor. Aaron Gillan, like, I know he hasn't won a Hurler of the Year. I thought he was unlucky in the first year Limerick won. I know he was sent off against Cork that day, and that might have held him back a small bit. But as an inside forward, I think he's one of the best that I've ever seen, and I know I'm not that old, but like what a player he is.
Yeah, no, brilliant, absolutely brilliant. And I think, as you were saying there, the ultimate team effort. They, you know, Grod Hegarty, All Ireland final last year, bang, just man of the match. You know, loses his mind there, scores freely. That's kind of what they have, and I think on a given day they have a system, and it allows Galan to go crazy yesterday and score, leaves the space in front of him. It's an absolute dream. He probably knew going in there yesterday, there's no Conor Cleary on his back. He's going in there now, and he knows that, okay, my half forwards are just going to go out the field, going to suck Conor now, and we're just going to get fast early ball into you. Like, that's an absolute dream as an inside forward. If you know going into a game that that's exactly what you're going to get, you know, you're looking at your name in lights, because it's just a dream, and it's so hard to do. Their backs there were getting awful flack, I thought, off the pundits as well on Sunday game, you know, about how they were defending and stuff like that. You just can't defend that. Like, if a ball is coming in, you just know. It doesn't matter how quick, how strong, you know, how whatever you are, whatever attributes you have as a player, as a defender, you just can't defend that ball when there's that much space in front of you. And, you know, you're getting that kind of delivery in. It's just quick. Whatever way it comes in, high, low, whatever it is, it's just frantic always, because you're just thinking, why is there so much space in front of me as a back? Where are my lads going? Where's John Conlon? That's all you're thinking. And you're always on edge. You're always worried. So, but Glenn in general is, like I said, he can win it anyway. He's clinical, and he has that bit of a dog in him as well. Do you know what I mean? He has that cut, and yes, you were saying about being sent off and stuff. That's one thing that Limerick probably get, you know, they're like Kilkenny of old. Everyone used to say, oh, they're filthy, dirty at times and stuff. You absolutely have to have that. You absolutely have to have that. And that's one thing he has as an inside. You know, he'll absolutely burst you, and the next thing he's laughing in your face. Like, and that's the kind of mentality they have. And it's a you know, it's something that you just 100% have to be playing at that high level.
Yeah, maybe it's the Ulster football coming out newly, but you couldn't believe that all the space was there.
Yeah,
and that Clare didn't change things and maybe bring a sweeper back from.
Well, I mean, like, I'll not pretend to know enough about hurling, you know, at that level, especially to say that, like, you should bring a sweeper back. But it does look unusual to me as someone who grew up playing football, and even now I play at the lowest level, but I've never seen that much space. You know, like, it's criminal. You know, we see space, you fill it. You know, and if you have the ball in the opposition half, you know there's bodies this way and every way, you know, and that you're expecting help coming in from deep. That's just the way the sport is. So it's just so bizarre to see. Like, I understand that you don't drop sweepers as deep to mark zonally to cut out that space, because then someone's just going to pick you off from distance. But, you know, at which point is it less dangerous than just leaving that space there? You know, I don't know. Is like, what would you have done if you were a manager? You said there's nothing you could do, but you may be tempted to change something.
Yeah, I probably, like, if that, you know, it was going on for quite a while. My big thing there would be that, you know, they had already beaten them in the championship. Clare had. I wonder, did they just back, you know, what they'd done previously and said, no, we're all right, we're good. And by the way, you know, still with all that space, there's a point in the game. Like,
yeah, that's true.
Still. So they obviously did back their, you know, back what they had, back their own system, back what they wanted to do. You know, Conlon, like I said, would normally sit deep. He didn't sit deep. It was working. Like, you know, it's not as if they were getting hammered, like, they were getting beat by 7 or 8 points, that it was like, okay, we need to absolutely change this. Like, this is, you know, we're really up against it here. So I just wonder, you know, in them high pressure situations in a final when they'd already beaten them, did they think, no, we're good?
Yeah.
You know, would it have shored it up a little bit more if they said, okay, hang on, and just crowd the bodies out, bring their own half forward line out? That's generally what happens in hurling. You bring your own half forwards out to meet their half forwards, kind of thing, and absolutely crowd the middle, and then you've kind of have two sitting centre backs on either side, really, is generally what happens if you're not playing a sweeper. So look, I don't know. That would be my thing, my thought in my head, that would be they completely backed what they were doing. They had backed that, hang on, we've beaten these only a couple of weeks ago, and as I said, it was 1-2 points in the game. Like, you know, it was working. Like,
yeah, well, that's the thing. It was working, and Galan was Limerick's own. He was the only place they were getting change, and Limerick are such a good team, they're going to get change somewhere.
And on that as well, actually, sorry to go across you, like, they were talking previous to the game, who's going to pick up Tony Kelly, or are they going to pick up Tony Kelly? So it's the same kind of thing. Like,
yeah.
Are they going to, you know, sit or go? You know, they absolutely, Limerick, you know, beforehand they were saying, no, they back their system. The same as Clarewood. Yeah. They back their inside backs to, you know, someone's going to go to town in a final. Someone's going to get man of the match. Someone's going to go well. Do you know that kind of
way?
Yeah, well, I was specifically looking out for that, and Tony Kelly was. He was allowed to... He started off in the full forward line in on Dan Morrissey, but as he does, he drifted out and he would move out the field. Then Dan Morrissey would give him to Dermot Burns. There was one specific time Dermot Burns had him and Tony was gone looking for the ball and he went past maybe the half, if that was, say, the line that the Limerick halfbacks don't cross, that Dermot Burns just gives a shout to whether it was O'Donovan or O'Donoghue. But that was the way it was. Do you know, it wasn't a man dovetailed to mark him. Just one thing on the sweeper. He played a sweeper a lot to great success under Davey. Like, does it say if, I think it was Kevin Foley usually for you coming back from midfield and then maybe a corner forward going out. Would you even enjoy that, having a bit more space inside yourself?
Well, there was a bit more space, but there was extra bodies.
Yeah.
That was the thing. It was difficult to play inside, I have to admit. It's difficult to go into a game knowing they're 100% going to have a lad in front of you. Do you know, it's difficult to play that. Played a bit of a wing forward. We tried to rotate our forwards quite a bit because, you know, it was nearly the graveyard shift there if you were named to play inside, knowing that, you know, if a ball is played, you're going to have to just, you know, when you don't have the ball, you're zigzagging, running, pop a ball over your head and you're gone again.
Okay.
Look at it. It's a system that worked for us. I think it's kind of not fizzling out, but it's a bit more fluid now. I think when we were doing it, it was still kind of fresh, and it was a thing that was catching teams because they were lumping ball still, and you know, we were getting good joy from it or whatever, and we were kind of using the ball a little bit better. Like, say 2019, you know, there was still teams like lumping the ball into their inside forwards, and you know, Kevin was getting an awful lot of joy from it, whereas we weren't doing the same as what our teams are doing because we were implementing the system. So we were actually using the ball short, runners from deep, popping points over or playing it to the side. So difficult playing inside. Difficult, 100% playing inside with two lads, sometimes one up top on your own. It's tough work.
Tough shift.
Do you think there's an ego thing in that too? Sorry, just to go back to the final and then the way they set up with Tony Kelly and Aaron Gillan, and you mentioned about, you know, they believed in themselves, the system worked, let's go again this time. But because it's a final, and if you do change things, you're almost conceding the first thing that they're maybe a better opposition. Do you know what I mean? By getting someone to play as a sweeper in that situation, you're conceding the first, well, we're more afraid of them. You know, you're reacting rather than acting forward.
Yeah, but if you're playing a system, or if you're playing a sweeper, then you're implementing. So, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's what we'd always say, we're playing a sweeper, so we're actually dictating the terms of play here. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, yeah, yeah.
So when we, like, say, just easy to talk about 2019. So when we knew we were going to play, say we play Kilkenny or we play Tipperary or we play anyone, they know, okay, right, Wexford, they're going to play a sweeper. So already, like, are we on the front foot then? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
But look, it's just how are you going to win the game? That's you know, what you think every single game. Well, they go out and the management, you know, obviously have their own. I don't think it's ego. I think it's just, you know, they absolutely back how they're going to win. They've, you know, tried and tested, and they've done it only a couple of weeks ago. And like I said, there was just so little between it anyway.
Just devastation for Clare at the final whistle. Jeez, we haven't even mentioned the free that I think there can be no question about was a free. I think Liam Gordon, maybe when the fans had ran onto the field just minutes earlier, things were going a small bit mad at this stage. I know when the final whistle went, John Conlon just dropped to the ground, and all the running and all the balls he'd hit that day, the heart went out to him in that moment. But it was a definite free, whether it was the Tony Kelly one or the Adam Hogan one. So disappointing for Clare. They'll be frustrated at that. It'll be hard for them to bounce back from it. Connor, like, having lost last year as well to Limerick.
Yeah, like the manner of the, you know, I think Tony Kelly said it a couple of weeks ago, how much they wanted the Munster, like, and you know, they really, really, really wanted it, and obviously, of course they do, like, every team wants to win their provincial, that's just the way it is. Just on the free, I think you know, in that kind of frantic last couple of minutes, talked about the Leinster final, the Tony Kelly one, you're kind of thinking, right, okay, I'll let you away with that one, just because it was, you know, a frontal challenge and, you know...
I didn't even see that, to be honest. But,
you know, and exactly. So, you know, stuff like that can happen and you're like, okay, that probably should have been a free, but, you know, okay, grand. But the second one, lad running, two lads, I think Gerard Hegarty was kind of standing over the two lads on the ground, and when the ref blew the whistle as if it's over, he kind of looked over to say, oh god, I can't believe this, like, what's going on. Everyone, you know when a soccer player like gets fouled and he just grabs the ball, that's literally Adam Hogan, yeah, literally just lay down as if like, okay, grand, no bother, like, you know, Tony Kelly, stick this over the bar, extra time, you know. So it was like you said, there was so much going on in that couple of minutes that, you know, look, as referees are human too, and you know, they get an awful lot of flack, but that absolutely was free.
But you said about like home advantage in a final, you go 2-3 points up, is it things like that?
Yeah, but like even just the crazy stuff that was going on, like fans on the pitch and stuff like that, like we don't, I don't know like what was going through the referee's head, but like you put yourself in that situation as well, like is, you know, is he just thinking like, this, I need to get rid of this game, this has to go, like I need to blow the whistle, looking at his watch, you know, there's probably so much going on in his head, he's trying to control it, probably lost the game a little bit, you know, and you know, at times, and then something happens in front of you, are you going to call it, are you not going to call it, and then you're just, you just panic and just blow the whistle, like, because it's that close. But you know, it's obviously it's drastic then for Clare lads. You know what I mean? They're obviously, you know, cursing the sun, moon, and stars at the ref over that.
The surprising thing was, I think, that he'd given a lot of them frees. He was kind of given the frees. Fair, like he was whistle happy earlier on in the game, so surprising for them. Brian Lohan, we interviewed him after the game in the Gaelic grounds, and he famously says very little, but he will give absolutely nothing away about the free. It was literally like, were you disappointed you didn't get the free? We didn't get the free. So that's that. Do you know, like it was it's also a matter of fact with him. Very disappointing for Clare, but they'll be hoping that they can bounce back. They have Dublin coming up now, which won't be an easy game either. I know ye lost to Dublin by a point, Conor, and it was one thing earlier on in the championship. It was one of the things I couldn't believe this year that you weren't starting that day. Was it like how did you take that as a man who's been on the Wexford team for since you were 17? What was it like? How did you take it that day?
Yeah, sure. This is my 10th year this year. It was the first game that I hadn't started for Wexford, which was...
First game.
Yeah, so played started every game since I played. So it was different mindset. I remember I was actually walking around Croke Park there just a couple of days before the game. Team wasn't announced and I was just thinking, right, okay, I can't wait for this kind of thing. Just get your head right or whatever it may be. And then to be told, I suppose, on the Thursday night that you weren't in... extremely difficult, hard to kind of put into words, hard to know how to feel or how to act because I've never been in the situation before. So you know, I had to really probably have a look at myself and say, okay, right, there's obviously a reason for it, whether I agree with it or not, and go on with it. Like, you know, probably I didn't agree with it, but you're never going to agree with it, you know, that kind of way. But again, the management have their own opinions, and you know, essentially they're the men who make the decisions. And look, at it was difficult, but sure, look, when you're in that situation, you just have to, you know, come in, make an impact whenever you're called upon. And it was a bit of a mad couple of days for me, mad couple of weeks really on that front.
Definitely, yeah. So like the first time in 10 years, you're not used to this. You're always starting. I'd say you were probably stunned when you're told that on the Thursday night. Do you just go home then and try and think, right, how can I take this and use it in the best way for the team, better still be advising, encouraging the lads that are starting, kind of thing?
Yeah, well, I, like, you know, there's probably been times where I've looked across the dressing room and lads, you know, want to throw the toys out of the pram and you're trying to get them onside, you know, get, you know, body language good and a whole lot. So, you know, I probably had to eat my own words and act, you know, practice what I preach, basically. So, like I said, it was extremely difficult to go home. Of all years, probably I went home there, five month old child. So I was fairly busy, and every day I go home, it's literally leave your hurdles at the door because you're on a different duty. So I don't know how I would have reacted if I wasn't in that situation. I probably would have thought about it that little bit more, and would have been, you know, it would have been dwelling on it that little bit more. But it was a lot to process. But it's in the hands of the management, and you know, to make calls, obviously difficult calls all the time. And it was me in the firing line this time.
When you make a call like that, sorry, did they tell you privately, or did they just name the team and you find out there and then like everybody else?
Yeah, like sometimes it depends really on the game, or depends on the manager really. Generally that happens. Sometimes you could know on the Tuesday night when like who's in. You could be, you know, going walkthroughs or whatever it may be. I know Davey would have used to do walkthroughs there, and you'd more or less know the team by how we're doing the walkthroughs and who'd be there, you know, that kind of way.
Yeah.
Whereas generally you'd know before you get a call, or you know, you'd be told the training before you go up to the meeting and stuff like that.
You mentioned kind of a roller coaster a few weeks. Obviously the Westmeath game was a killer for you and a terrible blow, but it ended like it could have been a lot worse, and like you deserve great credit for the way you stood up that day against Kilkenny. I was actually listening to that one on the radio. I don't think I've ever heard a more excited radio commentator. It was Pat Mulcahy from RTE. But I know you didn't go forward and disappointed on the whole, but like you must be proud of how you stood up that day against Kilkenny when you were really, you know, backs to the wall.
Yeah, like I say, absolutely backs to the wall. For me, all I kept thinking about that week was we were getting an awful lot of flack from you know, fans and the whole lot, and you know, it's probably grand being in Dublin, you know, there's not too many people pulling you aside there, or you go into a shop and it was kind of looking at you funny. There's no one, you know, best luck at the weekend, it's, you know, you need to show up now, like. But it was just after the Westmeath game, it was just such a downer, and it was like just literally backs against the wall. We've do or die stuff here, and in my head, you know, talked about not starting and stuff like that. That everything just goes out the window. It's literally do or die for your career. No one wants to be known. You know, we win Leinster final in 2019. We played in a final in 2017. You know, big games against Tipperary and the whole lot. But no one wants to be known for to be on the team that was relegated. Like. And that's what we're facing down the barrel of. And we stood up. We knew what was in our dressing room, and we probably just didn't get a run at it this year at all. With you know, a collective set team playing. You know, there's always one or two lads going to come in and out of a team, but we had four, five, six changes in the league, seven changes, eight changes at times in the league, and just we never just got that run of form. And there was, you know, crazy stuff happening that was just unheard of, and you know, it was out of our control, and you know, that kind of transpired then into the championship. We never got a run at it, and you know, we were make no bones about it, we were absolutely poor, like, at you know, at times, but we were also really good at times, and you know, probably felt we absolutely should have beaten Dublin, you know, too many wides and stuff. But as I said earlier, like, someone's going to hit wide, like, you know, that kind of way. You don't go out Crow Park to go hit wides. You're put under pressure. Sometimes you're not under pressure. It's a lack of concentration. That's the price you pay. But that was an emotional week going into that Kilkenny game. It's generally a frantic week anytime you're playing Kilkenny. But that was a little bit different altogether. Yeah.
Yeah. While we have you, Conor, the Tailteann Cup, at the weekend, and a great win for Wexford. I know you play a lot. I'm sure you play a bit with the club, and a great win for them over Offaly. And you know, they maybe had a disappointing, were kind of not going great for a few years, but they're going very well this year.
Yeah, they've good kind of young crew there as well. Mixed with a lot of lads who have experience, if you're Ben Brosnan's and stuff, and we've a lad from our club there, Brian Cush, he's in the panel now 2 years, excellent, like in unbelievable shape. They're putting in the work, and they're getting the results. They're stringing them together, and I suppose I actually spoke to Alan, Brian's father, yesterday after our club game, and I was just saying, like, you know, we strung a couple of victories together when we first started with hurling, and the next thing, you know, with Wexford, and next thing you're getting bigger games and then it just clicks. So look at, sure, they're under process, and you know they've been, the Talchin Cup is probably good for that, where they, you know, they're not just finished, you know. It's crazy to think that we're out. It's mad to think that, you know, we're in June now and it's everything is all over early June. And you know, they probably tasted that for a few, good few years, and you know, they're getting a nice run at it now, so hopefully, you know, they keep going.
Do you think it is rushed a small bit in that, you know, that Leinster final, once final are over already? Or do you see it from the club kind of thing? And
well, I don't see it from our club set up anyway. It's absolutely madness what's going on. Like I said, there, we had our game there yesterday at 3 o'clock in between two provincial finals, arguably the biggest day in hurling of the year now, because they played them on the same day. Two big finals on one day. I know the All-Ireland is obviously a big day, but like, this is probably the biggest day. And then we had a game yesterday at 3 o'clock, which is crazy. Nothing going on Saturday, Tuesday. If we'd have been in the Leinster final, the game wouldn't have been on. And then we go back now, and our championship is probably going to start in the first week of July, and it'll be over by the start of August.
Yeah.
So we've 7 weeks in a row or something like that, something hectic. So it's I don't know.
I'll give you a calendar maybe the next time you're here.
Yeah, I tell you, I'm better off not saying how I actually feel about it. But it's just crazy. It's just crazy. And for club players in general, you know, some of our lads now are training 7 months, like, for 7 weeks. And that's only if you get to the final.
Yeah.
It's just absolutely madness. Like,
have you much of a mix playing football, much of a crossover?
Well, we're going straight hurling for 7 weeks, yeah, and then straight football for 7 weeks. So no week break. We're probably going to, well, here's the perfect example. We're probably going to have 3 championship games played by the time the All-Ireland split.
Yeah.
Which so is madly.
It's rushed. And do most of your hurlers play football?
Yeah, it'd be a fairly big crossover in our team, yeah.
Okay, well, listen, we won't solve that one today, but me and Lee have a bit of Talchin Cup talk to get through. But thanks a million to Conor for coming in today. I really enjoyed that, a chat with a current player. And look, Wexford disappointing year this year, but hopefully you bounce back next year. And thanks a million for coming in.
Yeah, thanks, Conor.
Well, we talked about Wexford's brilliant win there over Offaly. Another big, Laois had another big win. They were maybe a team that were struggling, and Billy Sheehan, he, do you know, it was a big win for Laois. Mark Barry got 2 late scores, and Billy Sheehan, he was, you know, he stood up in the media after the game and said, whatever about me being abused, I don't care about that. But there was a county board meeting there 2 weeks ago where clubs literally said that the team were finished this year. Then online, it's just unfortunate, the abuse that the players are receiving from people who don't even come to the games. Mm-hmm. So I'm just delighted to the players. It really means nothing to me. They can keep abusing me all they want. He says, Billy has thick skin. It doesn't bother me in the least. But a great win for Laois.
Yeah, it was a massive win to beat Fermanagh. Fermanagh very much a team that are seen to be on the up. Laois very much a team that seem to be on the decline, let's be real. They've had a disastrous season of sorts. Like, genuinely, there's talk of them being maybe the bottom 4 teams in the country at county level. So, but that seems to be the benefit of this new format, that teams can actually work things out, play themselves into form. And Laois have done that. You know, and Evan O'Carroll, Mark Barry, 3 points each, stood up. Ryan Jones got sent off for Fermanagh in midfield, so that did help. And yeah, Laois, they'll, you know, they'll take that confidence into the next round now.
A big win for Down. They were actually struggling at times, yeah. and the scoreline doesn't really tell the full story there, because they were up against it, and it looked for a long time as if Longford could be about to, you know, make a bit of a giant killing.
Yeah, no, Longford definitely put it up to them. Down definitely didn't have it all their own way. It's a bit of a strange one. So there's a lot of talk of Owen Murdoch, midfield, young Down player. You maybe didn't see him in Ulster because he was allowed to, yeah, for the under-20s. A monster of a player, unbelievable. Really excited to see him. And he got his opportunity because Down got a penalty and he was actually the one to take it, which I thought was strange because Pat Haverin had taken it earlier in the Ulster Championship and scored his. He was on fire that day, but Oren unfortunately missed it. So, like, but a fair play to him for having the bravery to step up and do it. And then Pat did step up himself, hitting 6 points, I think, that day. Got Down over the line, but I think they've got Cavan next in the quarterfinals. It's a bit of a, like, it's the one team they probably didn't want to get this early on. But, you know, Conor Laverty won't be afraid of anyone.
Yeah, I suppose, look, if you're going to have to beat them, you'll have to beat them. You're going to have to beat them at some stage anyway. So that's the way they'll be looking at it. And actually, New York looked like they might have been about to pull off a bit of a Johnny Killen as well. They had Carlo under pressure.
Yeah, they definitely, they made a game of it. You know, they were very competitive. It was just sort of those, it's just, you know, when you watch two teams and you know beforehand that the one team is a level above, but the other team is really digging in their heels. And it did sort of feel like it's just a matter of when Carlo will start to pull away, and eventually they did start to. You know, they never really looked like they were going to lose the match, but it was real testament to New York and how far they've come. And again, another huge plus to the Talchian Cup, you know, getting a team like New York extra games and extra time together to actually make like a team spirit and give the competition a fair go.
Yeah, so it's all hotting up now, the quarterfinals. Antrim Carlo, Antrim an informed team. Mm-hmm. They'll be a force to be reckoned with. Adam Loughran's on fire for them. Meath and Wexford, tough draw for Wexford there, but they're on form. Meath are a little bit shaky, so you know, game on Limerick Leash and Cavan down. So who is going to win the Talchian Cup, Lee?
Oh God, well, Cavan are the favourites and for good reason, and they have the sting, I suppose, of losing the final last year, so, and they've got the experience of getting there again, and no one can say that they can't or they don't respect the competition. But the theme of the Talchian Cup is that teams that struggled in the league and in the provincials that were dead and buried, like Limerick, you know, teams like that, that just with all the disasters off the field and stuff, they seem to grab the second opportunity and nearly re-kick their season into life. So it's literally up for anyone. And I don't think we actually mentioned the Wexford stat, you know, 122 they scored, and all from play, not one free kick. Hugely impressive, but absolutely bizarre.
Unbelievable, really, in fairness to them. I don't think they got too many scoreable frees, was what they were saying, but all the better if you can kick them over from play. It makes the highlight reel a bit better. Look, that's all we have time for today. The GA, it's coming out, it's ticking fast, Lee. There's provincial hurling finals, there's more football games next weekend. Mm-hmm. There's preliminary quarterfinals in the hurling, so there's loads going on. So thanks to Connor for being with us earlier. Thanks to our sponsor, Sure, 72-hour protection as well. And we'll be back next week.
You've been listening to the GAA Hour, brought to you by Sports Joe and Sure. 72-hour non-stop protection, tested to the limits. Sure, it won't let you down.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.